P-minus 61. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. As television cameras at the edge of the Buenos Aires Gravesen's lockdown zone relayed harrowing images of Mesut Demir's death to individuals and families around the world, few reacted with the same level of shock and hurt as those in Birchwood, Colorado. Mesut was more than just a name to them, more than just a victim. He had been an ally, and a trustworthy one at that, at a time when trust was in short supply. There was little room for sadness over Masood's death, however, given the levels of anger over what wasn't just a murder, but instead had all the hallmarks of a brazen assassination. So soon after Jan Geller had publicly revealed not only the images of Dortolu Tepe and the fact that Mesut was implicated in a supposedly devious cover-up, but had also explicitly named the sources who had leaked them to her as John Cole and Valerie Slater, the sheer level of brazenness at play was almost impossible to comprehend. Everyone knew that Cole and Slater were in the hotel from which the bullets seemed to have flown, and the very same hotel in which other leaders had reported a suspicious security operation the previous night. That Mesut's death was one of three somewhat blunted its impact, since so much of the news media's attention would focus on the bizarre actions of the seemingly suicidal guard who ran towards the hotel while appearing to plead for his own demise. Within a few more minutes, the shooter would be found dead in a manner intended to make it look like a suicide, and within the hour, a plausible backstory would emerge courtesy of social media breadcrumbs that had been planted on the Patsy's account over the course of the previous week. When the initial dust settled, the two dead guards would be painted as anti-contact extremists, whose previous associates would describe them as loners and weirdos. John Cole, mastermind of the scheme, would never have to pay the second half of the illicit rewards he had offered the men in exchange for their inside work of breaking into Mesut's safe and delivering the contents to Cole's trusted operatives. Those operatives provided a buffer of sorts, just enough to ensure there had never been any potentially dangerous direct contact between the Prime Minister and the guards whose hands got dirtiest of all in the carrying out of his incredibly bold and reckless plan. Emma McCarthy, who was feeling a greater degree of amazement than anything else, considered that Cole couldn't have known what exactly would be found in Mesut's safe when he first ordered the search, and that things wouldn't have gone anything like this far if the contents hadn't turned out to be a game-changing jackpot in the form of irrefutable images of a publicly unknown alien discovery. "Well, they've absolutely lost the plot," Chairman Godfrey said with a surprisingly detached sigh. "They'll be found out in time, even if we stay focused on the bigger issues of Sanctuary's wonders and the restoration of general order both here and on New Kerguelen. But if need be, we can certainly hasten things along with some covert telepathic interrogation. Leisha?" The alien, typically placid and always nonviolent, other than when he deemed an action necessary to ensure the safety of himself or his innocent friends, wore an expression no one had ever seen. His eyes didn't redden in the manner they had when he wore the most remarkable uplift patch of all, the so-called deep dive patch, which had more recently had the same effect on Emma, but they looked nothing like they normally did. On Dan's first ever meeting with Leisha and Sacco, when Emma had stood uneasily at his side in a cloaked mothership in Lolo National Forest, his own natural fears had been somewhat eased by eyes he considered gentle and primate-like. Today, however, moments after they witnessed Mesut's murder, Leisha's browless eyes were narrowed and sharpened to the extent that reptilian would have been a more appropriate animalistic adjective than any other. "They will pay for this," Leisha said, his words sounding extremely heavy as they telepathically entered the mind of each of his patch-wearing human friends. "In time," Emma said. "Don't do anything right now, in case you're thinking of flashing yourself to Buenos Aires. This is a mess, and if we jump in too soon, all we'd be doing is smearing the you-know-what around even more." Little Piper's presence, and particularly the piercing gaze she was directing into her mother's eyes as she spoke, was enough to remind Emma to moderate her language in the nick of time, even though this wasn't exactly the most pressing concern of the moment. While the child had fortunately been looking away from the screen during the most upsetting moments of live footage, she was certainly more than astute enough to sense that her guardians and their friends were deeply troubled. She had spent the aftermath so far looking intently between not only Emma and Dan, but also Tara, with whom the alien Dr. Melly had revealed she shared a deeper than usual empathic connection. Tara, unsurprisingly to anyone, looked the most deeply upset by what had just happened to Masoud. The silent Chip Petrovich, meanwhile, was without doubt the most shocked. Like the rest of the general public, Chip had long known that John Cole was a wild card among wild cards, capable of conceiving and willing to execute schemes that wouldn't get past the first mental check or balance of any other leader's decision-making process, but this was beyond anything that could ever have been expected. Clark was predictably the angriest, Godfrey most cerebral in his reaction, and Emma most analytical. Dan, at the center of everything, didn't even know what to think. As the seconds passed, his dominant emotion slowly became clearer, and it wasn't one anyone else was feeling. Rather than anger, rather than sadness, and rather even than a thirst for immediate vengeance, Dan felt a flood of one of the most uncomfortable and hard-to-shake emotions of all. Guilt. Leisha, having been so visibly enraged ever since witnessing Masoud's needless death, exhibited a very sudden shift in focus. Dan, there is no cause for guilt, he plainly insisted, sharing this thought with everyone in the momentary belief that they too were aware of what was running through Dan's mind, but which hadn't in fact been actively shared with them. As ever, their telepathy patches could only pick up what was deliberately broadcast by another wearer, whereas Leisha's innately uplifted ability to interpret others' front-of-mind thoughts made it effortless for him to detect an emotion Dan had been trying to keep to himself. When everyone turned to glance at Dan in reaction to these words, mystified as to why he was feeling any kind of guilt for what they all knew to be John Cole's handiwork, Leisha immediately realized his error and privately apologized to Dan. There were no secrets within the group over anything that counted, as they all knew, but Leisha had never been sought to unilaterally share a friend's unspoken thoughts and hadn't intended to do so on this occasion. Dan quickly shook his head to push that aside, thinking it the least important thing in the world and wanting nothing less than for Leisha to feel any kind of meta-guilt for his accidental telepathic oversight. It's nothing, he replied out loud.
No guilt, man, Clark chimed in. All you've ever done and all we've ever done is push for the truth. That was Masoud's life work and he got to find that pillar because of everything you did. You and Timo and Billy, everyone. This isn't going to go unpunished, believe me. But right now, Billy is exploring another alien world that could answer questions we haven't even thought to ask yet. And Sacco and the other messengers on New Kerguelen are trying to get some order back to their world. That's what we have to do here, with you and Godfrey probably doing something in public sooner rather than later. Right, Emma? That's what we need. But it has to be balanced. Calling that ratbag murderer out today could cause even more disorder than we're already seeing.
No one who had been around Clark in recent years could miss the change in him, least of all Emma. In crises gone by, his instincts had typically been to come out swinging at whoever he deemed to have wronged him and his trusted circle. Now, however, when nothing short of politically motivated murder had been inflicted on an innocent ally, Clark was proving to be an unexpected voice of pragmatism. You're right, Emma said to him. We do have to be measured here and think about the bigger picture, which is what Masoud would have wanted, as hard as that is. But Dan, Clark was right about both parts. There really is no reason to feel guilty for this. Okay, you set the train in motion back when-
It's not just that, Dan sighed in interruption. I'm past all that. I did set the IDA leak in motion, selling Walker's damn hoax to the world, but good has come of that too. No matter what, I wouldn't undo it. I'm talking about today. If I had called Timo as soon as we got back from Sanctuary, he could have told Masoud we were back and he would have asked us what to do next instead of doing that. Going out to the press at the edge of that lockdown zone was his way of trying to get some balanced truth out there after everything Geller said on Blitz, but he didn't think he had a better option. He didn't know we were back.
No, man, Clark said as gently as he could. Massoud sent Timo a message to say he was going to do something, and Timo couldn't get hold of him, remember? So even if Timo had known we were back, he wouldn't have been able to tell Massoud that once he knew he was planning something. Massoud sent his message, then went dark.
But Timo could have told him right away if he had known right away, Dan said. Not in reply to any message. We could have told Timo and Massoud we were home before Geller even went on TV. There was
Dan, Tara cut in, sharply, but lovingly. We had only been back for a few minutes before Geller's thing. There was no reason to think Massoud would do anything so quickly or at all, and I don't think it would have even been safe to assume he was free to talk. Not in a hotel where Cole had infiltrated the in-house security enough to call in a fake threat and steal something from a safe in the first place. Okay? We're getting deep into things that aren't even worth a shallow look. Not right now. Nothing is over. We just need to regroup and keep moving forward. Leisha can get Billy tomorrow night, and until then, we have to put out the fires in every city where people are rioting. Rebuilding comes next, including on New Kerguelen. For now, it's firefighting.
Leisha gave a slow nod of support. Right. We have to act to make sure there's even a world to rebuild, Clark chimed in.
And we will, William Godfrey said, his tone less resonant than normal, but still authoritative.
But Tara, I don't believe that what they just did will fan the flames as badly as you might be expecting. People are far more concerned by Dan's and my absence and by the content of those carvings than they will be by the death of the relatively unknown archaeologist who found them. In fact, if anything, I think they might have just preemptively poured water over what could have been a hellish fire at Dordlu Tepe. The rioting I was worried about there, it probably won't come to pass.
What am I missing? Dan asked, anything but alone in being truly lost as to where Godfrey was getting this one potential consolation from.
Emma?
She looked at Godfrey. Are you thinking about the police? That the Turkish response might change because of this?
Precisely, the ICA chairman replied.
Dan, that idiot, or at least someone broadly following his orders, just killed a respected Turkish professor of archaeology. In multiple ways, this is the single most illustrative example possible of what we're dealing with here. They're reckless, thoughtless, and soulless, but they're also brainless. This just lost them the Turks' support, and now is the time I make my presence known in a private call to the Turkish leadership. The police will protect Dordlu Tepe while we focus on getting proof of the inevitable astroturfed rioting, and we don't have to get our hands dirty. I would have done anything in my power to keep Massoud safe from their cowardly actions, but, like our friend Phil, we'll see to it that he didn't die for nothing. We will,
Zacho,
Leisha very suddenly interjected by way of a mental proclamation that entered everyone else's mind at once. The alien walked a few paces away from the others as he held a hand to his temple as though focusing intently on an incoming message.
He's talking to me.
Is everything okay? Dan asked, first to get out the obvious question as he instinctively moved to Leisha's side. Leisha hesitated, not to think of a way to massage his answer, but rather to make sure he had enough information to give an accurate one.
It's not an emergency, he then said, the telepathically delivered words sounding entirely honest. But he has some news. Dan, Tara, he wants you to hear it with me first. I don't know what it is yet.
Clark stepped forward. What? So he wants to tell you three and the rest of us can just-
Enough,
Emma said very firmly. She turned to Tara, standing next to her, and encouraged her to join Leisha and Dan.
Clark, no friction, okay? It could be about Billy or something else with the gate. Zacho might just think they should hear first because they're more wrapped up in that than we are. Tara, go with them into my office.
As Tara stepped forward, not a little concerned that Zacho might be breaking bad news, Dan's face reflected a very similar concern. How does Zacho sound? He asked Leisha, walking with his alien friend at one shoulder and Tara at the other until they reached Emma's door. Leisha signaled to the door, his own alien hand ill-configured to tackle the small doorknob. Tara opened the door and closed it as soon as they were inside. How does Sacco sound? She asked, impatiently and uneasily repeating Dan's question. Leisha raised his hand to his temple again, a somewhat human gesture which didn't improve the clarity of the mental connection with his distant friend, but appeared to sharpen his focus. Leisha, Dan pushed. How does he sound? The alien belatedly answered, his eyes and tone reflecting the very feeling his single word response relayed. Scared.